Will we ever see human beings living out their lives in outer space? If that sci-fi scenario is ever to become a reality, we face many questions, largely physical and technical ones. But there are also ethical challenges to consider, according to Erica Nesvold, author of the new book, Off Earth, Ethical Questions and Quandaries for Living in Outer Space. Erica is an astrophysicist who has worked as a researcher at NASA Goddard and the Carnegie Institution for Science. Here she is to share five of her big ideas.
Hi, I'm Erica Nesvold. I'm an astrophysicist, but I also spend a lot of time thinking about the ethical and human rights challenges we'll face in space. I've recently published my first book called Off Earth, Ethical Questions and Quandaries for Living in Outer Space. I'm excited to share five of the key insights that Off Earth can offer you, even if you have no intention of ever setting foot on another planet. Insight number one, space could bring out the worst in us. A lot of people are excited about building new societies in space because they think of space as a blank slate, where we can start over fresh and try newer, better ways of living together. And private space companies hoping to lure investors to the new space economy point to the infinite resources waiting for us beyond our home planet. But space is only a blank slate until humans get there. We'll bring all our baggage with us, including our prejudices, narrow-mindedness, and greed. And the amount of valuable resources that are actually in reach, like water on the moon or rare earth metals and asteroids, is not only finite, but most of these resources are concentrated in small areas, increasing the likelihood of the same kinds of territorial conflicts we've seen here on Earth. In fact, the dangerous environment of space may make us more likely to hurt and exploit each other. For example, I talked to a labor rights activist for Off Earth who told me about worker exploitation happening today in the Thai fishing industry. Migrant workers from Myanmar are offered transport to Thailand to work on fishing boats. But after the workers arrive in Thailand, their employers take their passports away and tell the workers that they must work off the cost of their transportation before they're allowed to leave. The workers are then sent off to sea for months or even years with no way back and no one watching to enforce safe working conditions. Workers in space will also be living in dangerous, potentially deadly conditions and will be at the mercy of their employers for a ride back home to Earth. If we're not careful about putting labor rights protections into place for space workers, this could easily lead to the same kind of labor exploitation and abuses we've seen on Earth throughout history. Insight number two, we don't have to start from scratch. Fortunately, we don't have to reinvent the wheel when it comes to creating healthy societies in space. We have all of human history to learn from, both the cautionary tales and the success stories. Sociologists and anthropologists can show us how humans interact and coexist in small and large groups. Political scientists and economists can explain how different ways of structuring a government and economy can affect the most and least powerful people in a society. And historians can share lessons from our past here on Earth. Colonial historians, in particular, can point out parallels between the history of colonization here on Earth and plans to create new human outposts in space. The worldviews and philosophies that motivated European colonization in much of the world caused significant and lasting harm to indigenous populations, the environment, and residents of the colonies themselves. By studying this time period, we can try to learn how to avoid repeating the mistakes of our past as we expand our civilization into space in the future. For example, the English colony of Jamestown, founded in what is now Virginia, suffered multiple near collapses early in its history. A number of factors contributed to these failures: natural disasters, conflict with the local indigenous people, and bad luck. But the colony was also hampered by the lack of skill and planning among the colonists. Most of the original colonists were upper class, with no expertise in farming or other vital trades. And the company who financed the colony encouraged the colonists to focus on producing valuable goods like gold and lumber, rather than farming or building houses. It's easy to imagine the same scenario playing out in space if we're not careful. A colony on Mars made up of upper-class Earthlings who could afford a ticket off-world, with no applicable skills, being pressured to mine valuable resources rather than building a sustainable habitat. But we don't have to repeat the tragedy of Jamestown. We just need to make the effort to consult the experts here on Earth. Not just the rocket scientists, but the social scientists too. Insight number 3. Stories can help us build better futures. If I say, do we want our future in space to look more like Star Trek or Star Wars? There's a good chance you'll understand that I'm comparing a shiny, egalitarian, and communal future with a grungy, oppressive, individualistic one. That's the power of stories, and especially science fiction, when it comes to imagining the possible futures of our species. Science fiction writers are futurists, experimenting with different possible paths for humanity and examining the potential outcomes of those decisions. But stories also help us drill down past all of the technical and practical concerns to get to the emotional, empathetic core of these questions. If you've listened to other Book Bites before, you've probably heard other authors use anecdotes, both true and fictional, to support their arguments and research and to illustrate their suggestions for how we can all live better lives on Earth. Stories are how we learn from our past, interpret our present, and plan our future. They also work as great conversational shortcuts when we're discussing complex topics with other people with a shared cultural background. It's amazed me how many times my interviews with experts have referenced works like The Expanse, The Martian, and even Total Recall. Even if science fiction is not your genre, stories from history, or even the stories you make up about your own hypothetical descendants' lives in space, can help you connect with these challenges and come up with solutions. When thinking about how your decisions today will affect future generations, like the way you vote, the work you do, the products you choose to purchase, put yourself in their shoes. What will their day-to-day lives look like? What challenges will they face? What will they dream about? And will they be happy with the choices that their ancestors made? Insight number 4. Thinking about living in space can help us today. Here's an example. How would a space settlement address interpersonal violence or other crime occurring in their community? Perhaps they could build prisons, like many nations here on Earth. But resources and labor are likely to be in short supply in the early days of space settlement. They'd need to find a space in the habitat to use as a prison or build a new one. The person being imprisoned would still need food, water, heat, and air, but would no longer provide their labor and skills to the community. This could be dangerously impractical, but what are the alternatives? Forcing prisoners to work could lead to horrible abuses, and banishing them from the community would essentially be a death sentence. Which raises the question, how could we manage crime and harmful behavior in a small community on another planet without wasting labor and resources on prisons or resorting to an even more violent and oppressive system? Are there non-carceral justice strategies used in communities and cultures here on Earth we could adapt for use in space? And now that we're thinking along those lines, we can ask whether any of the solutions we imagine for space would work in our own communities on Earth, where prisons are often also expensive, impractical, and full of violence. Allowing ourselves to explore these social problems in a hypothetical space settlement lets us consider much more radical solutions than we would be able to come up with in the context of our own societies. This is how the process of thinking about the challenges our descendants will face in space can help us here on Earth today, even if it takes generations for humans to establish permanent settlements in space. Insight number 5. Space could bring out the best in us. Space may not be a blank slate, but stopping to think about how we would design and build new communities from the ground up gives us a chance to really examine our values and biases, and forces us to imagine what kind of future we would want to build. Now is the time, in these early days of humanity's space era, to have these crucial conversations. The decisions we make today as we begin to move outwards towards the stars will echo down through the generations, potentially far beyond our planet. This kind of deliberate effort could lead to radical new solutions to problems that have plagued humanity for generations. After all, while the challenges we'll face in space will be extraterrestrial, they'll mirror all of the fundamental problems we struggle with on Earth. How do we share resources with each other and with future generations? How do we live sustainably within our environments? How do we balance an individual's rights with the needs of society? Figuring out how to build a healthy, thriving future together in space will also help us improve lives today. After all, if we can picture a better world in space, why not on Earth? No need to wait for the rockets to be built. By having these conversations about who we want to be as a society, we can create a civilization that deserves to spread itself to the stars. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Erica. That was Erica Nestvold with 5 big ideas from Off Earth, Ethical Questions and Quandaries for Living in Outer Space. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.